Hello and welcome to part 2 of episode 62 of Mood Swings. This week my guest was Michael Dart, as you know, because you'll have listened to part 1 by now. And he's a good pal of mine, and I think because of that, I took some liberty. So here's the warnings, first of all. I make some bad jokes throughout this podcast, two in particular. One is very insensitive to Michael Dart's past issues, which he talked about in part one, and I would just like to say that I only left that. That's the kind of joke I'd only make with a close pal. It was a very much a light-hearted ribbing, and also I received Michael's permission to leave it in the podcast, and he said that he also found it quite funny. So hopefully, I mean, it is in poor taste, really, but hopefully you enjoy it. I left it, and I think it is quite funny. It adds a little bit of colour to the podcast. If you don't agree, I'm sorry. Just press that little 15-second skip thing if you feel like you can sense it coming. And then at the end, I just make a very childish, immature joke. There's no need for it, but I'm going to leave it in. Just try and stop me. This is going to be the last podcast before the break, I think, so I need to get in every second I can. So yeah, on that note, unless something drastic happens before next week, it's looking like this will be the last podcast for a while. I say a while, it probably won't be too long, and I think I said maybe yesterday on the intro that if I am taking a break, I'm going to try and do some more of the movie ones and some more blog posts and maybe some YouTube videos and stuff. So there's going to be plenty more Mood Swing stuff happening. Just going to take maybe a wee break from the weekly episodes just so I can get out and maybe record some more. So I can record some more. I just want to say thanks to everyone for the support. Maybe use this time that there's going to be a little break to catch up on the episodes that you missed. Some of the Muay Thai ones are really cool, I think. So the Shane O'Neill one, I think, in particular, is one of my favourites. We've done the whole 62 episodes. What other ones have been good lately? The one with JQ, I thought was really interesting. Chat, Rob and Janine, all the London ones were really great. And this one. also, if you've got a bit of spare cash and you want to help support the podcast and support me on my next run of getting shit done, getting these podcasts recorded, you can purchase a Mood Swings t-shirt from 365aberdeen.bigcartel.com. All the proceeds go into helping me fund this podcast, and it's all very much appreciated. And then you can send me a photo and I'll post it on the Instagram, and you get to see yourself there, and that'd be great. So enjoy this second part of Mood Swings, and I'll be back at the end. Cheers. Michael Dart.
The confessions.
The confessions. Oh, God. I worry sometimes. I was worried this week about doing this, because I'm like, what am I going to say, and who's going to listen, and
you can't think about those things.
What reprimands is going to have? Like, I hope so far I've not done anything to get me fired, or...
I mean, this will never see the light of day, this podcast. It's ridiculous. No, well, we could talk about that for a little bit, I suppose. I don't think you can... For me, I do think about who's listened to certain things I've said, and also I've written quite a lot of articles as well, mm-hmm. and I think about who's read them, but
yeah,
it's a weird thing about mental health is, like, I'm obviously very open to talking about it,
mm.
and I think I think everyone should be, but I don't think you should. I think you should be as open to talking about it as you want to be. I don't think you should feel like you have to talk about it. And there was a time where there were certain things I wouldn't have talked about, and now I have. That Shane O'Neill podcast was like a classic example. Like, I spoke about the STD thing.
Yeah.
And like that was something that I really was never going to speak about. And then I wrote the article on it because I was like, well, I can speak about it by writing about it rather than actually saying it.
Yeah.
And then with Shane, just like with who he was just like, I just finally talked to him about anything. Like, it was like, when I was speaking to Shane, it was like the microphone wasn't even in the room. It was just like, he was just such a dude that just rattled off. So, like, yeah, when that one went out, I was like, I obviously don't want to edit this one. I don't want to edit this bit out. And Shane kept sort of referencing back to it as, like, a point of reference to, like, experiences of anxiety he'd had through his friends, through himself and stuff. So I couldn't have really edited it out, otherwise the rest of the podcast wouldn't make sense. I was like, oh, but do I really want that to go out? But in the end, you sort of just got to be like, well, if you're going to put yourself out there, you've got to.
That's the way I see it now. It's like, I very much, in terms of personal, not mantras, but personal things that I tell myself, my one is to be as open and honest as possible with people. I like to say to people, new people I meet, I'm an open book, you can ask me any question you want kind of thing. It's a bit different because I don't know who's going to be listening to it, obviously. But in terms of my sphere of people I can share it with, I know most of them. But at the same time, I know people who, if they want, you know, you always think the worst, I think. And you're like, oh, if this person really wanted to, like, tell this person that I said this kind of thing, then they can, sort of thing. But I think overall,
well, something else I went through the podcast was a guy, Steve, I interviewed. I was talking to him about stuff like that, and he said that's a thing called catastrophizing. Whereas you will take a thing and you'll create a narrative that almost like I've written books in my head of, like, if I say this, or if this is, this person finds out about that I did this, and they'll think I meant this when I didn't mean this, and then you just go down these massive like rabbit holes of, and then this will happen. And then
it's like the Gabelman thing. Like, I didn't tell anyone for ages, and then I told my girlfriend at the time, and it was a huge thing. Like, again, one of many reasons that we ended up splitting up. And she's like, I bet you'll never tell your parents about it, kind of thing. And I didn't tell them for ages, and then eventually I told them, and it was fine, sort of thing. But, you know, they weren't disappointed in me, you know. They just wanted to make sure I was okay. And because they were the ones who've initially told me to watch out for, you know, getting addicted to it, kind of thing.
But do you think there's maybe a history there? Do you think maybe someone in your family had?
No, I don't know. No, because they both like a flutter themselves, but they got under control. They don't.
I love that face.
They like going to races and enjoying a day out and stuff, and I'm glad they do it. Like, they get out and they've got a hobby together, kind of thing. They're not, you know. You know, they. But I can't do it, sort of thing.
Well, I remember Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance, who, you know, he said that he was also an alcoholic, and he said, if people love drinking, you know, that's fine, but it doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
I think you can say that about a lot of things.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the case, exactly.
And sometimes I wonder about myself with certain things, but.
We're all still figuring ourselves out, though. You know?
Yeah.
We're 26, 27, approaching our 30s, and maybe we should have shit worked out, but no, we'll never ever probably ever figure it out. Like,
how do you think? Do you think, I think people go on about, like, nowadays being like the age of anxiety and the social media and just the media in general, constant comparing ourselves to each other. I think now, you know, our parents' generation was quite a successful generation in terms of they were able to gain decent employment, especially in this area, in Aberdeenshire, where they were able to get maybe in the oil industry or a supporting industry to that, where there was a lot of money and they were able to do really well and, you know, get houses and like have families and stuff. And that all seemed to, I wouldn't say it was often easy or it was built to work hard, but it was more accessible, I suppose would be the word. And now we live under, I mean, I've got a friend who I thought was really successful. And then, obviously, we're saying, I thought, this is like, I'm demeaning them at all, it's not what I mean at all, but someone I thought would be financially very stable and is older than myself is in a job that I perceive as a really good job. And he told me last night that he's going to have to move back in with a parent because he's struggling financially.
Yeah.
And I think that's not anything to do with that person. It's to do with, like, the economic place we live in now. And that all adds up to how we feel about ourselves. And we live in a, like, a world now where, so I'm kind of rambling a bit, where you're trying to, like, push to be super successful, but it's becoming increasingly more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that attributes a lot to why people have sort of self-doubt and a lack of self-worth?
Yeah, I think so. I think when you're told, you know, kids are told, you know, when you're growing up, you're told you can be anything you want to be.
Yeah.
And that's bullshit. You can't, like, I could never be an astronaut or a jet fighter because I can't fucking see. You know what I mean? Like, when you're told you can do this, that, and the other. And I do think there is a bit of entitlement that comes with people our generation, but now we're realizing that
yeah.
it's not. But the generation before don't see that because, you know, we get the whole, like, oh, fucking millennials kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it is hard to, when you're told, like, I'll be fine, you know, like you're saying, when you're growing up and you see people getting jobs and, you know, good jobs in the areas you live in, and, like, as long as I work hard enough and can get a job, or maybe, especially in Aberdeen, like, oh, I can go work offshore, you know, 2 weeks, two on,
yeah.
two off, kind of thing, and the money's there, but it's, I've made my peace with the fact I'm never going to own property. Like, I've worked in property programs and you see all these, you know.
Yeah, well, never say never.
No, but I'm, the only way I own property is, unfortunate set of circumstances have to happen for me to own property, let's
yeah.
put it that way, kind of thing. You know, people know exactly what I'm talking about if, you know, they can read between the lines, but I don't want to say out loud, kind of thing, but. Yeah, I'm never going to be in a position to pay a deposit or, you know,
yeah.
get a mortgage. Especially, again, TV work, because you can't, because it's freelance and
yeah,
you're working
consistent.
12, yeah, you need to have, like,
yeah,
3 months,
income.
Yeah, exactly, consistent income to be able to get a mortgage in the first place. So, yeah, I'm very much resigned to the fact that I'm going to be renting for the rest of my life. So as soon as you get that out of your head, it's like, I'm never going to own property, that kind of takes a bit of pressure off, because,
yeah.
like, right, no need to save for a deposit kind of thing. Oh, save for a rainy day, is the same, but it's like, you're not, at the end of the day, you're not sitting around doing nothing because you're saving up to buy a flat that you can't buy. So, but I agree. Definitely there's that pressure to live like previous generations have in a world that doesn't offer the same opportunities or, you know, because everyone goes to uni now.
Yeah.
Back then, uni was a rare thing.
Yeah.
Like, I was the first person in my direct family to go to university, like, you know, speaking of my mum and dad and my grandparents kind of thing, and graduate. But that means nothing, really, like...
Yeah.
But I come from a family of grafters, like, my dad's, you know, grafted his entire life to get where he is and provide for us kind of thing, and my mum, she's very smart and worked in banks and things, but she had us, and again, she works, she's very talented cook and stuff, so she works in school, was working as a head cook kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they've got to a point now where I've left home that they can start doing stuff themselves, which I'm happy about.
Yeah.
Because all the money just used to go towards me and my brother kind of thing. And I'm kind of happy that I'm in a position where I can pay more rent. Again, so they're still there to help me out when I need it, which I was occasionally, like, when you've got periods of unemployment, but I'm glad they're able to, like, go and do whatever, go on holidays and things, because we did go on holidays when I was growing up, you know, went on a few holidays.
Yeah.
And I don't begrudge them for that at all. They did what they could within their means, and that's obviously long-term best thing to do. There's no point bankrupting yourself, like, trying to give your kids everything they want sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was definitely that pressure to, or that perceived idea that you should be doing it, you should be living this way at our age when...
I just think, like, you're 26, aren't you?
Mm.
So we're the same age, I'm 26 as well. And at this age, I think my mum and dad would have had quit their mask. Yeah, they would have had me, and they probably, I think my brother would have been close to being on the way. And obviously, well, my mum would be working, my dad would be in quite a good job, and I don't think I could feel further away, like, much further away from that in terms of being ready for that kind of thing. I just feel it's like a...
I think the 20s are now the new teens, if that makes
sense.
Yeah,
like, it's a much massive generational thing.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it? Do you like that? Or do you feel like we're short, like we're...
I will try not to think. I try not to think about it, yeah. I maybe shrug it off.
I'm making you
think
about
it
now. I don't think about it either. I don't know why I decided to do it.
I'm not worried. I'm in a position at the moment where I'm just trying to like get myself sorted, because there was like
yeah.
a year back there kind of I just moved to Glasgow, so when I moved to Glasgow after Stirling I was like fresh start,
yeah,
I'm gonna do whatever I want, I've got a consistent income because the Homes on the Hammer was basically contract rolled all over into contract kind of thing as long as I wanted to stay. So I was like, right, I'm gonna go every month, maybe go somewhere different for a weekend, so like Dublin, Berlin, Amsterdam, Iceland, all these places. And then like last year went to America for 2 weeks and stuff, and now I'm paying for it, if that makes sense, because I
yeah.
put them on credit card and stuff, and it's like now it's got to the point where I've got to pay them off before I've got to start paying interest on them. So I'm like, right, now you need to sort of tighten your bootlaces
yeah,
and just
yeah.
sort of maybe not be as exuberant kind of thing. But I'm glad I did it, don't get me wrong, like I had
yeah.
some amazing experiences I wouldn't have had otherwise if I hadn't decided to live that way, sort of thing. Like
yeah, but I think sometimes you've got to value experience over the potential ramifications.
Oh yeah.
Also, that doesn't mean people should get themselves in
no.
heaps and heaps of debt.
No.
They'll never be able to pay off. But like, you know, very much at the moment, I'm not in a position where I'm saving money. I'm in a position where I'm kind of about going to see all the bands I want to go see.
Yeah.
Going to the nights I want to go and training at the gyms I want to train at. And
exactly.
living like a life lifestyle that I want to live without really considering the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where some people would probably say that's ill-advised, but at the same time, like...
Depends on your set of circumstances.
Yeah.
Like, I've got no real commitments in a sense, you know what I mean?
No.
I don't have kids or anything like that. But at some point you've got to realise, you've got to think, right, I need to start considering, you know, I've got to stop thinking about me and think about the future in terms of, I don't know if it, whether it's with your when you're with a partner or whatever, but you do have to think, I can't like keep living the way, I can't keep living for me, I've got to live for
yeah.
us, if that makes sense. It depends on your circumstances. I've never been one to spend beyond my means. Okay, yeah, I've got debts, but I've not got debts that some other people have. I've got manageable debts.
Yeah.
It's a case of I just have to sit on my hands for a few months and it'll be fine kind of thing, but it's struggling to sit on your hands for a few months when you're like, oh, just buy this. Or, and I'm not a material person either, so it is, for me, it is experiences and like going on all these things. So
yeah,
gift tickets.
Trips
and,
away.
Exactly.
Football games. Trips to Burnley.
Trips to Montrose.
Trips to Montrose. Wow, today, don't fucking talk to me about that.
Montrose, Burnley,
wow.
Like, so yeah, Burnley the other night.
I think in a way...
I've come up this weekend, you know.
I think in a way, those experiences are harder to turn down financially than, say, a guitar or an amp or...
Yeah.
An expensive suit or whatever, because you can say, oh, well, I can get that when I can afford it. I can always save up and get that. Whereas if a trip to Burnley to see the Dons or
yeah.
a gig you really, really want to go, a band you've never seen, you were... Those things are harder to turn down because you want to go on.
That's it. I bought my ticket for 2000 Trees next year already because
yeah.
I went back in beginning of July, and then they were doing this thing where like if you bought your ticket within a month,
oh, they
next
always
year,
do that.
Yeah, you get 20% off, and but they also if you decide you're not gonna go, they'll give you a full refund till the end of March. So I was like,
they don't always do that.
So I was like, oh, surely it makes more sense to buy it now than.
Yeah.
Eventually I'm going to buy it anyway 3-4 months down the line, sort of thing.
That's how they get you.
So if anyone wants to come to 2000 Trees next year, definitely recommend it.
Yeah, maybe I'll come. So the last thing, well, maybe the last thing, who knows, but I know you want to talk about a little bit about like weight loss and body image and stuff.
Yeah.
Something I can definitely,
well, I mean, I wish it was something that I didn't want to talk about, but I think it's something important to talk about considering
definitely.
That's like a core part of my mental health journey, shall we say.
Yeah.
So if you've been listening so far, we talked about how I had this breakup and stuff when I started this job, and I was probably my lowest. I didn't like myself, didn't like the way I looked. I didn't have this job, I really don't know what I would have done. Like,
mm-hmm.
this was the only good thing going for me, was this job.
Is this when you started? Like that?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the only good thing that is going for me. If I didn't have this job, I really don't know what position I would have been in.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sound like really dark and That was the only really good thing going for me at the time.
I think it's very common to do that as well, back on your life and be like, this is the thing that that kept me going through.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's again one of those jobs where I had it for 3 months to begin with, and you're like, I just want to get extended.
Yeah.
And you just got to wait, and you just got to wait, and you don't know what's going to happen. Thankfully, it all worked out. But basically, between that sort of July to the end of the year, I was at my worst in terms of weight and stuff. I weighed like 120 kilos, 19 stone. And then it got to the beginning of the year, I didn't like myself, and I'd been back on, like, well, I say back on, I'd never been on Tinder before, because my previous relationship, Tinder didn't exist at the beginning of it. So I've been on that and was having not joy, but you know, I wasn't getting anything out of it. I was just feeling worse about myself. I was like, right, you need to quit that. You need to just focus on yourself for a bit. So it's like, right, just change the way you're eating, like cut all this shit out, and then start losing weight. So I did that. And then got to about, so I started 1st of January, like proper New Year's resolution shit. I had no target in mind, really. I was like, I want to get under 100 kilos, maybe was the first thing.
Yeah.
And then I was progressively losing weight, sort of thing. And it got to about March, and a friend of mine I'd seen on Facebook had signed up to do the Edinburgh 10K. I was like, you know what? I've never run. I've never really done running or whatever. I mean, I joined the gym just after January to try and get help with the weight loss. I was like, let's sign up, let's do a 10K. Never done a 10K before, let's sign up. You've got 8 weeks to get in shape to be able to run it. So I started running, going out running, doing park run and things like that. And it was going well. I was like, and then I noticed, I don't know how it came to doing it, but I decided I was going to do 5 10Ks in a year. Like, I decided I want to run every Scottish city that did a 10K, basically. So like Inverness, Stirling, Dundee, Aberdeen, all that. But it ended up being 5. I was like, I'll run them, but I'll try and raise money for Sam H.
Yeah.
And the first one ended up being Aberdeen a couple of weeks before the Edinburgh one. So that was my first one. But I'm one of these people that needs target. I need something to aim for. I need something in the future to keep me going. So that first year I ended up doing 10 Ks in the space of
100K,
the space of 7 months, and I did them across Europe as well. So like, did all the Scottish ones. I did one in Berlin. I did one. I never visited Berlin before, so I was like, oh, I'll do that. And that kind of thing, I ended up, coincidentally, I decided to go to Iceland for New Year's, and it just happened to be one on New Year's Eve, and I was like, well, I can't do it, like, if it's,
well,
that's happening.
Earn the pints.
Exactly. And then I carried it on into the next year, which was last year, and my target was I'm going to run every capital city in UK and Ireland. So I did Belfast, Dublin, London. I'd already done Edinburgh. I didn't manage to get to Cardiff, but I ended up, I went for a 2-week trip to America, and just so happened when I was in Toronto, there was a 10K in Toronto, so
right,
I decided to run around Toronto in the sweater and heat in a kilt, because I was like,
you ran the 10K in a kilt?
Yeah, like, it's so warm, like, I don't think I've sweat as much doing a 10K as I did that. Well, London was pretty hot as well. And then this year, I've not done as many as I wanted to. I've only done one so far this year, but I also did the half marathon last year, because I was like, 10K is good for me. Over and done within an hour. That's about as long as my mind can focus on one thing. So
yeah,
but I was like, I'll do a half marathon. I'll do a Glasgow half. Like, at least
how long is a half marathon?
It's twice the distance, basically, of 10K. It's 21 kilometers.
Did you find that? Was it hard?
I don't know. I didn't do any training, which is the worst thing to do.
Yeah.
I kind of did my last 10K before maybe July. Yeah, in London.
If you're anything like me, you would like. I could probably do a marathon without doing any training, and that's not like a sort of fitness goal. It's
no.
Just that I would, if I sign myself up for something, I might be there for 2.5 days, but I'll fucking finish it just like out of pure embarrassment.
It's one of those things, because I'd never run the distance before. I'd never really run over 10K before. Most I'd ever done maybe was like 12 by accident when I'd gone out for a training run and took a long time kind of thing. But I sort of looked it out, looked the map beforehand. I was like, right, I know all these areas of Glasgow. So instead, what I did was I just broke it down in my head. It's like, right, you're going to run up here to this point, and then you're going to go. And then obviously it was mile markers and stuff, so it's 13 miles. So it's like, right, you just count up and count down. So get up to 6 or 7,
mm-hmm.
and then count down. It was about mile 8, which is beyond 10k distance, was when it started to kick into the legs and the feet and stuff. And it just got to about Bella Houston Park. I was like, oh, just get through Bella Houston. And as soon as you get to like Govan, you know exactly where you're going to be. You've got to go past Ibrox, got to go across Squinty Bridge, and then down along the river to Glasgow Green, sort of thing. But I was waddling by then. I was still running, like, air quotes running, but like,
yeah.
I wasn't going fast. Like, I wanted to do it under 2 hours. I did it in 2 hours and 9, which I'm still really quite happy with.
Yeah,
I said afterwards, I'm never
13 miles.
Aye.
Yeah, that I think that's a fucking respectable time.
I said I'm never doing this again, but I said to you today, I'm gonna go and do it again in September.
Yeah.
Like, see if I can try and beat that 2 hour 9.
I think I'd like to run a marathon at some point in my life.
Or
even a half.
I signed up for, before I'd done the half marathon last year, I'd signed up for the ballot to do the London Marathon this year, and just after the half marathon that I would find out if I got a place or not. And when they found out I didn't get a place, I'd never be fucking happier. I was like, I don't know if I could have done 42 kilometers, like, or 26 miles, because London Marathon sounds glamorous and stuff, but apparently there's areas of it where there's nothing happening, like around the Isle of Dogs and stuff. It's just grim. There's no supporters out there.
You're just
it's just you in your head. Like, I've got friends who've done it before, and they're saying on that home stretch, like the finishing line, it's like a war zone. Like, it's just people crying and falling apart. It's maybe one of the most happiest experiences of your life, obviously finishing the marathon, but people are just in bits. Like,
yeah.
So I'd imagine I'd be one of those just like crawling over the line and be like,
yeah.
Like,
it's an episode of All or Sunday in Philadelphia where he's skiing.
Yeah.
And he breaks his ankles.
Be like, yeah,
yeah.
Be like Dennis crawling over the line.
They're surely broken! Yeah, his spirit is surely broken, would be the cry for if it was me and you.
Yeah.
So what do you feel about the sort of cognitive function of running? Like, do you feel that helps your sort of mental health, having that sort of...
clears my head.
Yeah?
If I'm ever on edge, I know I need to go out and do some sort of exercise, run exercise, like, because I've started doing it more frequently recently, but to begin with, I never listened to music when I went out running. I prefer just to listen to what was going on around me, especially races, because like, obviously there's loads of other people running.
Yeah.
But I just find I'm focused on that. There's half an hour, I've just got to myself. It's just me, my feet, the distance, the road, whatever.
I'll tell you a funny story. Well, not a very funny story. But I went to see, you remember the film The Strangers from 2006 or something? It's a home invasion film. And then so they made a sequel earlier this year, Strangers 2, and it was all based, like, this family go to an old holiday resort in America where one of their uncles stays. And this holiday resort's obviously been from the 80s, it's very dated. And they go there and it's, everyone there has been killed, and they're now then being hunted by these serial killers. So the soundtrack is pure 80s, and it all gets lit up, and like there's all this like 80s stuff, it gets lit up. It's hard to describe without seeing the film, but it's obviously done in this sort of 80s style. They're being chased by killers, there's like, you know, all this like palm trees and like bright lights, and then like, you know, total eclipse of the heart erupts, and they're in a swimming pool and stuff. It's really 80s, really cheesy. But it's a horror flick, and I absolutely loved it. And I went to see it at the beach in Aberdeen. So what's next to the beach in Aberdeen that's 80s themed and cheesy as fuck? Cadonas in the Pleasure Beach.
Yeah.
So I went to see it, left the cinema, got in like Fiona's car, driving in there, I was like, fuck, like, I loved that film, I loved the soundtrack. Next day, I like made a playlist which was just like some of my favourite 80s songs mixed with the soundtrack of that film. And then I just ran at the Pleasure Beach, ran back, because like, that film just like I run anyway, but it made me want to like run and have like a sort of almost like a themed run.
Yeah.
The music was such a key part of it, so it's kind of weird for me, like music, and like I did that run maybe like 10 times after that with that same theme in my head, but I don't think I could run without
music or without that sort of like romantic, like that's almost like a romantic album to me. Do I mean?
Yeah, I go through phases, and I find certain albums that I'll go and run to, like the Untitled album by Blink 182 is a great one to go run to, or any Block Party. Like
any block party,
like
I found
Weekend in the City or Sound Alarm are good albums to go run into.
I found Live Nirvana was quite good.
No, I've never done that one.
I don't know.
Ruben are really good to run to.
It's a blast from the past, is it?
Yeah, love Ruben. But generally, I don't know, it depends, because sometimes I'll go, recently I've been going to the gym, just going on the treadmill. In my gym, it looks out on tennis courts, so I can kind of watch tennis while I'm running, or I can put in some music, and or even stick up.
Play some bass in your head. He's fucking raging. This is why I like doing them with my friends. I can fucking rip the piss halfway through.
Yeah, well,
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Are you sure? And it looks out on tennis courts.
Yeah. So yeah, where I go now, I'll go on the treadmill and there's tennis courts. I can watch tennis or. Because treadmill running, I find boring as shit.
Yeah, it's quite boring.
So I'll listen to music with that, or I'll maybe put on a fucking episode on Netflix or something.
Yeah.
Because last couple of weeks I've started playing rugby again, so I've got terrible knees anyway, but I've had a knee pain, so instead of going to training, going to the gym and just going like, you know, the sort of sit down bike thing.
Yeah.
So I went on that for an hour the other day and just watched like three episodes of a sitcom. Because I was like, I'd be bored otherwise, just sitting here looking at a screen,
yeah,
like watching me do counting down to an hour kind of thing. But I think you always feel better for having done exercise, as much as it maybe you dread going to do it to begin with.
Yeah.
You always feel better for having done it. And yeah, running. I'm not a runner. Like, look at me. If you see pictures of me, I'm not, obviously, built like a.
You got big shoulders and you're tall.
Yeah,
you're tall, dude.
I go and run, and the only person I race against is me. Like,
yeah.
I try and maybe better my time from a previous race, or so when I first started, it was like trying to bring down my time. Now it's a case of get around in a certain time, maybe not my best ever time,
because I put
weight back on again, sort of thing. But in a healthier, sort of happier way, kind of, I'm not eating to. Fill the sad, you know, fill holes or replace the sadness kind of thing. So, yeah.
Fair play. I think we should probably wrap up soon.
Yeah, we probably should.
Everyone else is sitting in the bedroom whilst we obnoxiously tape the living room to record.
Yeah.
Our thoughts and feelings. So you know what the last questions are going to be because you've listened to podcasts before. So what are your top things that maybe are specific to yourself that you do to help with your mental health, and what would you recommend to other people they might not have tried before?
Well, what we've just been talking about, go for exercise,
yeah.
Go for a run. I'm a huge, yeah, definitely, that is number one. Get some door things going, get, you know, you might, as I say, you might dread doing it, you might be thinking, oh, what if people see me, you know, out of no one gives a fuck. Like, go somewhere quiet. Go at night. Go where no one's. If you're that self-conscious about it, go and find a time.
I would say just do it.
Or a place. You know, but I'm saying, people do.
I know, but I was really bad. Sorry, I asked you a question. I haven't been talking myself. Like, I was really bad. Like, before I joined my first gym, which is Pure Gym on Chicago, I thought about it for months and months. And I just couldn't picture myself going at all. And then, you know, and then I joined, and it was difficult at first, you know, when at first I wouldn't do any weights, and then I would just go on the treadmill, and then now I'm at, like, you know, I went from that to going to different gyms and trying different gyms and trying different exercise and going with my pal, and then now I also do like combat sports, which is the most sort of social exercise.
Yeah.
Like my thing with what I wanted to exercise, but I didn't want to be social with that. I wanted to go and do my own thing, be by myself, no, have no one look at me, and just go and get it done. Feel like I'd achieve something and get out. And now I exercise in possible way, the most sociable way ever. It's hard with combat sports. Really, it's hard to train by yourself because you need training partners to spar or to hold paths to each other, to develop each other. So I've gone from a place where I was very anxious and very nervous and very unsure of myself to a place where I'm totally...
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say I'm totally easy. I sometimes still get nervous and things and still anxious.
Yeah.
But I've gone on from a small place to a massive place.
Yeah. Well, I remember when you did the boxing.
Yeah.
You see the change in you from that, and obviously you just carrying it on.
Yeah.
So it didn't like us.
If I can do it, anyone can.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If I can do it with the size of what it's just going out and doing it, and let's say you get some time with yourself, you get to be within your own thoughts, which maybe sounds horrendous, but it's no bad side to run in, I don't think, because
well, I think
all the bad thoughts go away because you're doing something positive.
Yeah, and when you feel physically good, you feel mentally good, I think,
mm-hmm.
as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. I didn't like myself physically, so
yeah,
I couldn't like myself. My mentality wouldn't let me like myself. Other things, I'm saying I don't have any magic cures. No one does. If you are on medication, keep taking that medication, obviously. I didn't do that. I was lucky in a way that I just stopped taking medication and was fine, but I would never recommend that to anyone whatsoever. If you're on medication, keep taking it and have regular check-ins with your doctor and things like that. Talk, again, seems very obvious, but whether it's a case of if you don't think you have anyone in your life you can talk to, then honestly, get in contact with someone who does talk about it, you know. Whether it's someone like us, like I was happy to talk to anyone that feels like they need to talk, because there's nothing worse than feeling like you're alone with your thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, and that's something I think yourself and a couple of individuals I think have been most helpful for with me, whereas the things that I've not felt like anyone would understand, and I've told them to certain people that I trust deeply, and they've been had the exact same thoughts. It goes back to what I was saying about that article that I wrote, and then when I talked about with Shane about the STD thing, and the reason I didn't want to talk about that was because I thought no one else will ever thought this, and it's ridiculous. And then as soon as I talked about it, I had friends I've known for a long time coming forward and saying I've had the exact same thing, we've had the same paranoia, and that makes you feel so much better, I think. When you realise that your rational thoughts are other people's rational thoughts. And I think sometimes the weird thing with mental health is it's the darkest and the most obscure things are the things that are most damaging, but they're the least things you're least likely to talk about, because they're the things you think no one else will have them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when you have to be your bravest and really put yourself out there, because that's when you'll get the most reward out of talking to someone. But that is when it's hardest, if you really feel like you're a freak.
When you suffer from anxiety, it's the hardest thing, but you do have to take a step out of your comfort zone. Well, personally for me, I felt better when I did take a step out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And a lot of good things have happened to me for taking a step outside of my comfort zone. Which is a whole other podcast, maybe eventually one day. But I think if you speak to people, you won't regret, because you also find out a lot about your friends as well as yourself from speaking to people. And that's not to, you know, say people are not going to understand, but there will be people who don't understand it because they've never gone through things themselves. And the other thing I would say is, and this, it might sound, people might disagree with me when I say this, but try and find something about yourself you like and keep finding things, because at the end of the day, the person you're going to spend the most time with for the rest of your life is you.
Yeah.
And if you can't like yourself, then you know you're going to struggle. So you need to sometimes just close yourself off, like we were talking about social media and stuff earlier on. Just close yourself off from the outside world in terms of social media things. Don't compare yourself to other people.
Yeah.
Find the things that are positive about yourself and focus in on them.
Yeah.
And over time, things you maybe don't like about yourself, you'll come to like about yourself, kind of thing. Like, I'm bad for it. Like, I still.
Yeah, well, that podcast with Shane, like, I know you listened to it, and when I did it, he said, like, if I sat down with you for 10 minutes tomorrow, in silence. He said, if I sat down for you 10 minutes tomorrow, how well would I know you after 10 minutes? Not that well.
No.
So if you did that every day for like a year, I'd know you all better. But he said, how often do you sit down and just be with your own thoughts for 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
So how well do you know yourself? Another thing he said was that if you're really interested, was treat yourself like you're someone you love.
Yeah.
Like your family, your partner, your friends, you would want them to have all this, like, it's unreal. It's actually unreal. Like good food and like,
yeah,
all these things, like have a good time and stuff. So, but how often do you treat yourself as someone that you
exactly? Because if you can't look after yourself and treat yourself and love yourself the way that you would want to maybe do that to another person, then you're not going to be able to do that for another person. I've found personally, I've had to find. So, I'm in a relationship now where I don't think I could have maybe been in it if I hadn't been happy with myself. You need to have for your own happiness and make your own personally, I find, make your own happiness and be happy with yourself before you can enjoy the happiness of being with someone else, because you can't rely on someone else for your own happiness. It's not a healthy way to live.
No.
And that's,
I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's maybe hard to hear for some people, but it generally is. Like, the joy you get from being happy anyway, you're like, right, yes, I love this person and this person makes me happier, but if they weren't there, I'd still be happy anyway. It's such a euphoric feeling, I found. So just don't worry, there's people there that do care about you. There's always someone that cares about you. Might be hard to find them sometimes, but they'll be there maybe when you're not even looking for them. And just look after yourself.
What else?
And the rest of it will fall into place.
Don't be friends with Nathan Brown, because he will
be friends with Nathan Sauce Brown, because
he'll be hungover and he will message you in the dead of night with ridiculous things.
And
then he'll expect you to come to his flat the following week and record a podcast and act like nothing's happened.
No, I appreciate the responsibility that goes with being, as hopefully people listening to this, so hopefully think I'm being genuine and open, because that's the way I like to live.
Yeah.
And I am proud that I'm in a position where people trust me enough to be able to come with me with their own circumstances, and I don't want to say issues, I don't like that word, but feel comfortable opening up to me, because it's not something I would ever take lightly, because know how hard and how brave, you know, personal bravery you have to find to be able to do it is.
I think I've gone too good at it. I think I'm too brave now.
Too brave.
I think I'm telling everyone too much. Everyone's like, Nathan,
no.
You know, like.
Well, I mean, I don't think that at all.
I'm trying to end this on a light note by making fun of myself.
Fair enough.
And you're trying to be like, no, you're fine.
Well, no one's ever fine. No one's ever.
Wow, no, that's true.
That's your.
What do you think about that? What do you think about if you've had a lot of people? I think are eternally looking for a cure, but I think with mental health, not for everyone. I think some people do go through periods where they have very bad periods, and then they can come through the other side and be completely fine.
Yeah.
Whereas I would say myself, I don't think I'll ever be 100% free of all my stuff.
I like to think big picture sometimes. I like to think at the end of the day, none of this really should be here. It's a complete accident that we are.
Yeah, that's true. I always like to think about that.
Like, we are just tiny and insignificant bits of carbon that get this tiny time frame to enjoy a life. So make the best of it. Like, I know it can be a struggle, but
spend as much time with the underworld as you can.
If you can, then do that. No.
I can't have your deep in thought of your staring at those sensations.
I'm looking at the other ones. That's why I know how they're stacked. That might have to be your photo for them.
They're good, man. Those jalapeno and cheese rolls are good. I won't buy
I've totally lost track of that. No, yeah. at the end of the day, enjoy what you have, even if it's not what you want, because you only get it once. It sounds really cheesy and really corny, but make the most of what you have. And at the end of the day, everything, my other big picture thing I like to think of is every single, obviously every single molecule atom within my being has existed since the dawn of time and will exist until the end of time.
You're getting too deep now.
So, you know.
Right, before you start singing, everyone knows how the dawn of my wife's name.
Shall we go to church tomorrow?
No, it's enough. Thank you, Michael, for speaking to me. I'm sorry for trying to throw you off at the end by making ridiculous jokes.
That's absolutely fine.
I hope everyone's listened and enjoyed this one. I don't know what. I was in a weird mood for this one. I don't know what.
I don't know. I told you before, I really don't think, you know, I don't think I'm that interested. So if anyone takes anything
out
of this,
I think this
would
be good. I just think that I was too playful.
No, that's how it should be.
I should have behaved myself there. Anyway, I'm turning the mic off now because we've got guests here. But thanks, dude.
It's all right.
Say thanks to your listeners.
Thank you.
I've never made anyone do that ever before.
Thanks. And to my listeners, or my listener, I love you, Mum.
I love you too, Dr. Mum.
Okay, so that was your second part of episode 62. And this might be the end of season 2. Although I don't really ever... You wouldn't know what season was. It's just a thing I do on iTunes where it says, what season is it? Or maybe that comes up if you use iTunes. I don't know. Speaking of iTunes, if you've enjoyed this episode and this season and the podcast in general, and you use iTunes, please leave us a 5-star review and a 5-star rating and a wee review. It would be absolutely brilliant, and it really helps a lot in ways that I don't understand, but I'm told are very important to do with the ratings and our visibility and stuff on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be brilliant. I just want to say thanks for everyone for sticking with the podcast. Like I said, there's going to be probably a wee break. If it turns out I lied and this has been an overly emotional goodbye, I'm sorry. I don't like to take breaks, really. I like to keep it going as much as possible, but in this instance, I think it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just want to say thanks to you all for listening, and hopefully we'll be back soon. Cheers.